Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing him in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Woo! Splash four!
It is honestly one of the most rewarding parts of doing these is that when I'm watching the reactions by the admiral or the captain, whoever having, they're like, and they're saying the lines right along with them. That always makes me happy. Joining us here in studio today, I have Greg Capo, call sign Capo. Huffman is his last name. He is the two-star admiral, rear admiral in charge of the Naval Education Training Command on board NAS Pensacola. It's a command that rotates normally every 3 years. We got Capo a year early because Cherico, Caesar is his call sign, went up to be chief of naval personnel, I believe, and got his third star. And so, you know, that's always a possibility. You know, you can get your third star. Admiral Huffman, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks so much, Andrew. Glad we are able to get this on today. And
yes.
Really thankful for the opportunity to come down to the studio and get a chance to talk with you a little bit.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of explain what NETSI is, what you do, what you've learned on the job here in the last few months. But I do want to give people a little bit of background because your bio is amazing. You've flown 28 platforms, is that right? 28 platforms, primarily the Hornet,
yes.
Super Hornet. The Rhino, but a lot of other platforms. You've done a lot of testing, but you've also, you know, you've been on the LPD-20, the Green Bay, the John C. Stennis. You were the commanding officer, Carrier Strike Group 12, which is the Enterprise, and you, right? Am I wrong so far?
Carrier Strike Group 12, it was the Enterprise years and years ago, but now it is the Gerald R. Ford.
Oh, that is the Ford. Okay.
Yep.
And you brought the Ford online. You were the guy who brought this amazing brand new capacity online for the Navy, right?
I was very privileged to be in the right spot at the right time when we were bringing the Ford up and getting her operational and going through her first certifications to be able to go out and do combat operations. So that was a really, really tremendous experience, and I was very fortunate to be there.
And I imagine it's got to be wild for you. I mean, you've seen this in a lot of different cases, but you were the commanding officer of that boat, and then now you're kind of watching all the news, and of course you're very connected to the news because you make it possible for all of the sailors who work in naval aviation and all the Marines and everybody who brings these capacities to bear. It's quite a daunting job. So let's talk about it. What is NETSI? This is for people who do not know. It's the largest training command in the Navy. But what is NETSI housed right here at NAS Pensacola?
Right. So it is absolutely the largest single organization we have in the Navy. So over 24,000 folks. And really what we are responsible for is bringing people from the street, so taking our citizens in this country and bringing them through their basic military training pipeline, getting them all their foundational training, and then getting them out to the fleet. So we are taking on the order of 44 to 45,000 people a year and recruiting them, bringing them all the way through that pipeline and getting them out into the fleet where they are desperately needed.
Sometimes it's a little easier maybe to think about what NETSI doesn't do than what it does do. So maybe, because if you think about all the training that takes place in the Navy, all the various roles that are done in the Navy, there's just kind of a handful, really, of things that NETSI isn't responsible for. Maybe it would help to clarify that, because by default, what you do everything else except...
Sure. Some of the very specialized skill areas we don't have responsibility for. So, for example, nuclear power training. That is its own separate entity. We start with all of the aviation training, and they all begin at NETSI, but then they branch off and go under the Air Training Command and go through the rest of their training. The special warfare folks, so the Navy SEALs, they have their own specialized program. But beyond that, we pretty much have responsibility for everything. And, you know, the new Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Cottle, came in, and his number one priority right off the bat was really building up our sailor force, getting them the technical mastery they need to be able to be battle-ready sailors. And that's what we're driving for, is so sailors who are ready on day one to go into the fight if necessary. So that's really what we're striving for.
I think you were mentioning the very initial instruction, KNIFE. It used to be called API, I think, but it's KNIFE, Naval Introductory Flight, whatever the E is. But that's the thing that you guys do, and then you eventually hand them off to Naval Air Training, NATSE, right?
So we own the Naval Aviation Schools Command, so that's where all of those future pilots and naval flight officers come through their training, as well as the air crewmen. They come through as well, so rescue swimmers, those type of folks all start off there at Naval Aviation Schools Command, and then they'll branch off once they finish that foundational part of their training.
And like all military people, it's very acronym heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Try to avoid the acronyms. Try to like lay it out there and explain what we're doing.
So. You have NATSE, and NATSE is not NETSE, and NETSE is not NASC. And
yes, absolutely.
All these different things. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Admiral Huffman. He is the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola's NETSE, not the base. Sometimes people get confused about that. They think that Mama San, Captain Newman, reports to you. She doesn't. You're in different lines.
That's true.
You know, she is what facilities? What is the?
She is the installation commander.
Installation
so
commander.
She
thank
reports
you.
To Naval Installations Command.
That's
and their regional admiral, who's responsible for all of the Southeast, is based in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's if people, again, I know a lot of you know all this stuff, and I know a lot of you have no idea about the lines of command, but it's. It's important because, you know, people tend to think, because she's the public-facing entity for Naval NAS Pensacola, and people tend to think, well, so the Blue Angels report to her. Nope. Or they might think that, well, why is an admiral reporting to a captain? Well, he doesn't. She reports to an admiral in a completely different line of command. She's like the mayor of the base, and you are the head of the biggest corporation that's housed on the base with sprawling satellite facilities all over the world that does all the training. And again, for people who know, this is basic. For people who do not know, it's a lot to digest. Hang on for just a second. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you are between 9 Mile and Highway 29 on I-10 eastbound, you're going to experience about a 12 to 15 minute delay. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. I know in your role, like all roles in the military, you have things you can and can't really opine on. You know, like whenever we interview the Blue Angels, they always say, please don't ask them about big Navy policy, because they can't answer that and it's going to make them look awkward. There are things I know I can't really ask you about, and that's fine because it's not your responsibility. But you guys were listening on the way over, talking about the future of aviation with China, with projection of power, range, aircraft carriers, drones, all of that stuff. You heard it. Anything you want, feel free to say no, there's nothing, but anything you want to add, correct, did I get anything wrong? This is a long-running conversation in the Navy community.
Sure, absolutely. I would say flat out, the future is bright. As we develop new technologies, we've got the Ford online right now. We brought her out 2 years early and got her out on deployment, and you can see she's out on operational deployment as we speak.
But by the way, that's amazing that she came out 2 years early.
Yeah.
You don't get, I know I report on some of the problems and flaws and challenges. 2 years early for the Ford to be out flying and sailing is amazing. Anyway,
it was really pretty inspirational to see. Honestly, what the sailors were able to do, what that team was able to do, coming together and get that operational requirement complete and get out there and really do what the nation needs them to do. So we have that new technology coming online, and it's fantastic. I mean, there are so many different advances across the entirety of the Navy, not just in aviation, but in all the communities. The surface ships are getting new equipment all the time. The submarines are always developing, really maintaining that technological edge. But fundamentally, for me, it is the people.
Mm-hmm.
That is really the secret to our success. The sailors that we are able to bring along line, and these are just, folks, average citizens that, volunteer, raise their right hands, come on board. We get them the training they need, and then they are able to step right out there and step into these roles and really fulfill that mission for us. And that is the secret to our success. People.
Yeah, and that's what Admiral Cherico, Caesar had always said before, and every admiral that's been in this position has said that same thing, that these people are amazing. You know, they're stellar. They're surprising. When we do the Meet Your Tenant Commands, we talk to some of the O6s, same input is the sort of cultural perception of the kids these days, these kids, all they know how to do is scroll TikTok and, bully each other and not talk to people because they can't pick up a phone to save their lives. That kind of is the perception. of the next generation. But you work with these people every single day, and your people work with these people every single day. And at least the ones that are coming through your door are not like that.
I would say flat out, one of the things that keeps me doing this, and I've been doing this for more than 36 years, is the people. And it's the inspiration that I see every day, especially as the younger folks, you know, come from the street, and then you see them out there doing these incredibly hard jobs. Mm-hmm. But we are able to provide them that foundational, you know, technical capability to do it, give them the discipline to do things, and then they really do enjoy what they do. They see the purpose and what's going on, and why we need to have the Navy out there on point all the time.
You know, one of the things that I think we think of as a flaw in these kids is that they're so dependent on technology, that they're so phone centric, that they're, you know, there are all kinds of things that, you know, people that are your age and my age, I think I'm a little older than you are, but maybe not by too much. But it, peers, we'll say, yeah, peers for now. Peers. Okay. We're Gen X kids. We look at those as flaws, but this means that, for example, with AI, I mean, they're native speakers.
Right.
I'm horrified by the fact that a kid would go to AI as first recourse for producing a paper, but the fact that my own children are so facile with it, and that your incoming sailors and Marines and Guardsmen are very comfortable with it, that all of a sudden the flaw is the advantage, unless I'm wrong. They get AI, they speak AI, they're native to it, and all of this digital communications environment, and even, I mean, just all of that is actually an advantage for them. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think their comfort level with new technology and bringing on new capabilities makes it very easy for us to try to keep pace with them in some respects and make sure that the you know, things we are teaching, the curriculum we have, is relevant to what they are doing and what they are going to do with new technology. And we are absolutely embracing AI. We're bringing that along, not just on how we are improving our curriculum and making sure it's the latest and greatest and getting it updated rapidly, mm-hmm, but also ensuring that our sailors are able to use those tools that are available to them now. And as it spreads, making sure that we have a good foundation of that understanding is really spread throughout the fleet. In fact, Secretary Ward just pushed something out the other day encouraging everybody to use AI and use some new tools that they want all of us to embrace. And so some of us older folks are right, you know, working through that, but it is definitely something that we are taking on board. And I've seen it in action, and it's very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the military historically is not all that nimble all the time, to understate. And in this case, it's almost like, you know, sometimes the person who's been at the company a long time and thinks that things should be done a certain way, and it's the incoming younger people who are like, no, it should not be that way. You need to listen to us. It sounds like the Navy is really taking that to heart instead of imposing upon the incoming folks with the rapidly evolving technology how the way we've always done it, which is so important. Tradition, right, is so important.
Yes.
But let's not let the tradition get in the way of making it so they're not as good at doing what they need,
right,
to do. Let's not try to force them to be us. Let's facilitate them becoming what they need to be to make in the modern Navy what it needs to be, right? And I was thinking about this when you were coming over that, I mean, look, you have, it's not just emerging threat. It's not just, or I mean, here threat. China's a here threat, not an emerging threat even. But you have AI, you have autonomous, you have drones, you have, you know, cheap things that are asymmetric warfare success. You've seen it in Ukraine. You've seen it in the Navy. I mean, you know, if I'm an aircraft carrier guy, I'm not thrilled about these, you know, long submerged, battery-driven submarines that can sneak up on me like they've been doing for 10 years in exercises. Like, that scares me. But how do you train in an environment where that just is? That's what we are. You know, you don't know what the technology is going to be in 3 years. How do you train the whole force for that reality?
Right. So we are adapting and adopting a, you know, continuum of education and training. And it is ongoing all the time. And really, so we've got groups of folks who are looking ahead at what is coming downrange. What do we expect to be there in the future? And then injecting that into what we are training to now so that the sailors are, hey, they're learning what the systems are right now, but they're also looking to the future and getting an eye into, okay, how can we improve upon what we have and counter whatever an adversary might have to keep that advantage. And you know, we do enjoy that advantage now. We just have to maintain it.
Absolutely.
And so the teams are working hard to always keep that going. But it's that continuum of learning and education and training till we get, you know, technical mastery is really what we're driving for.
All right, last question, I think, for you, Admiral Huffman. Thank you so much for the time this morning, by the way. So glad we were able to finally get you in here because of the shutdown before it was delayed. It's been reported that there is a photo from near Pearl Harbor, December 6, 1941, of a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier. Do you know whether there's been any verification of this, or is the Navy...
That's something we would have to look into a little bit. I haven't seen any photos of a Nimitz class from back in that day, but I've seen a movie about that.
I knew you'd know where I was going. Okay, so this is your quick test question. This is your lightning round question.
Okay.
Okay. Final countdown, Top Gun, Midway, or other?
Which version of Midway?
Oh, well, fair. Okay. All right. I was going to go with the old one, but.
Okay. I like the old one. I saw that when I was a younger person, and I really enjoyed that. So that, to me, has always been a foundational one. If you're going to go Top Gun, I'd have to go with Top Gun Maverick.
It's very good.
I like the flying scenes, and I know a lot of people who participated in that. But I like Midway. I like history.
I'm super fond of Final Countdown. That's the one that got me turned on to naval aviation. That's what got me in love with the Tomcat to begin with. I'm a Final Countdown, not a Top Gun guy. So yeah. I mean, I am a Top Gun guy, but that's the first one. Well, Admiral Huffman, thank you for the time. Thanks for coming in today. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. But Greg Huffman, he is the 2-star admiral in charge of the Naval Education Training Command on board NAS Pensacola, massive sprawling command. I really appreciate what you do, what your folks do, and that you keep us safe every single day. You make it possible for me to have this job and my kids to go to school and eat their food and drive on the roads. And thank you for what you do to contribute to the safety and security of the nation.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I do got to say one thing as I close out, as we go into this week. Go Navy, beat Army.
Oh, yeah. I got to get it out there. You got to love those unis, too. I love all the stuff on the helmet and everything. No, that's a good point. Go Army. Go Navy. I almost said it wrong. I'm so sorry. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Don't do that, Andrew. Okay, so I-10 eastbound between, 9 Mile and Pine Forest. We've got an accident that just happened in the eastbound lane, and it's causing some major delays. Traffic is starting to back up all the way to 9 Mile. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, about a 10 to 12 minute delay. And Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola, expect a 15 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you in a situation where you need a miracle? You need God to do something that seems impossible? The Bible explains that without God, we can do nothing, but with Him, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and explains that, and I quote, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." He's speaking in the context of a virgin conception. If God can bring about the miracle of a biological impossibility, don't you think He can solve your problems? In Jeremiah 33:3, God challenges those who need a miracle when He says this, and I quote, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I urge you, call upon Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
All right, we are almost completely out of time for the half hour. I hope you found that useful. David Wayne might have me a 15-second news story, though. David?
Well, I sure do. The chair of the House Armed Services Committee says he does not think there needs to be any further investigation into the military strike that killed survivors of an attack on the alleged Venezuelan drug boat.
All right. Well, you know, there's a difference of opinion about this. There's still the open question of whether they're going to release the full video or not, and whether it would tell us anything, because it might be the Rorschach test. If you like or dislike the president or, you know, Pete Hegseth, that might determine what you see on the video.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Making America affordable again, the major message from President Trump last night during his address to supporters in Pennsylvania while bashing Democrats.
Democrats talking about affordability is like Bonnie and Clyde preaching about public safety.
The president discussed energy prices.
Right now, drilling more oil than we've ever done ever before. Prices are way down.
Price of gas, our gallon of regular lands at $2.94, that from AAA, down 5 cents from a week ago. And Democrat leader Chuck Schumer and four other colleagues from the Senate will meet with Americans who rely on Obamacare tax credits to pay for health care. If lawmakers don't find a solution, premiums will skyrocket pricing out millions. And not much movement in the pre-market as the Federal Reserve will deliver its decision on interest rates. That's coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 39 degrees with clear skies here in Pensacola. Our full forecast on the way with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Our District 2 state representative says a political controversy in Tallahassee is even worse than previously thought. Representative Alex Andrade claims that new financial records prove the state acknowledged that Medicaid money was diverted from the Centene settlement. That settlement was valued at $67 million. According to Andrade, $10 million went to Hope Florida, a nonprofit connected to the First Lady, instead of the state's general fund. He says that diverted money should have been split with the federal government. Andrade calls that theft and said it proves the funds were Medicaid money that was illegally moved. State Attorney Jack Campbell is investigating. Well, Pensacola could be home to a new Coast Guard recruit training center in the future. The Trump administration is investing more than $24 billion to expand the Coast Guard and add 15,000 new members over the next few years. That growth means their current boot camp in Cape May, New Jersey, might need some extra help. Studio 850 reporting this morning that the Coast Guard is looking for a new facility to accommodate thousands of recruits. A local response from Congressman Jimmy Patronis and Florida's senators was submitted before a deadline December 8th. That response highlighted Navy facilities here at NAS Pensacola as being ideal for the Coast Guard's needs. The facilities already have barracks, dining halls, medical clinics, gyms, pools, classrooms, and, of course, the Pensacola Airport nearby. If selected, it could be a very big economic development story. Santa Rosa County Commissioners giving themselves and the public a bit more breathing room. The board decided to move committee meetings from Mondays to Tuesdays, and agendas would now be published Wednesdays instead of Fridays.
A lot of times I found myself, and I, you know, in the past 3 years, I find myself on Sunday. I'm working through the agenda again, and then I'll sit there and I'll find a question. And it's the last thing I want to do is disturb people on Sundays, and, you know, on their time with their families to maybe go over an item that somehow skipped, you know, somehow got past me.
Commissioner Kerry Smith there, he says this change would mean less scrambling on Monday mornings for both staff and commissioners, and also more time for the public and the media to review agenda items and ask questions. Now, they do have a formal vote scheduled for tomorrow to make that change official. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he's ready for a courtroom fight after labeling the Muslim advocacy group CARE, a foreign terrorist organization. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, calls the move defamatory. They say they're preparing to sue the governor. He says he welcomes the challenge.
But we welcome that. I mean, you know, we did do the designation for both the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE. This is something that has been a long time coming. I know the federal government's now working in a similar direction.
The governor's executive order claims that CARE has ties to Hamas. The group denies that. CARE says DeSantis is targeting anyone who supports Palestinians. Well, some new details out on alligator Alcatraz. ICE released records last week on the immigration detention facility in the Everglades. Over 6,700 men have been detained there. The most recent records from a few months ago now show most have not been issued a final removal order. That appears to contradict a claim made by the governor 5 months ago that everybody there had been issued such an order. NBC6 reporting the records also show about 70% of the inmates are either convicted criminals or do have charges pending. 735 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and right before you get to the Pine Forest exit, which is causing some major delays right now, about a 15-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola from Pace, seeing about a 20-minute delay, just congestion, no accidents there. And Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road is seeing about a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Chilly start to the morning. Let's get our forecast from Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at a chilly start to your morning with temperatures warming up by this afternoon, 64 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 45. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 58. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 46. Going to be looking at mostly sunny skies on Friday with 67 degrees for your high, and Friday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
41 and sunshine right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Trade Representative Jamison Greer said the deadline for China to buy 12 million metric tons of soybeans from American farmers is the end of the growing season. A fact sheet issued by the White House originally said the deadline for the purchases is the end of December. Reuters reports NVIDIA has built location verification technology that could indicate which country its chips are operating in, a move that could help prevent its AI chips from being smuggled into countries where they are banned. The feature, which NVIDIA has only demonstrated, would be a software option that customers could install. While markets expect Kevin Hassett to be named the next Federal Reserve chair, he is pointedly not the choice of respondents to the CNBC Fed survey. The December survey says 84% believe President Trump will tap Hassett to head the central bank. Only 11% think that's what the president should do. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 179. The NASDAQ up 30. That's Your Money Now.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for 48 on 2025 Forester models, and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation per new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate: managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise, Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and as I light my Hanukkah menorah, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah. Also, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year from all of us at News Radio 92.3.
Hey, everybody, this is Austin Price, co-host of Pensacola Right Now from 4 to 7, wanting to wish you both a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year on behalf of News Radio 92.3.
Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have Mayor D.C. Reeves on the line with us like we typically do on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Hey, great to have you. Let's start with a project that you have inherited. It's one that you care about. It's one that we care about. It's one that everybody wants to see solved, and it has been just years in the making. The Veterans Memorial Park bathrooms. We thought we had them, and then we didn't have it. We thought we had a trailer, and we didn't have a trailer. And we thought we had funding, and then we... So the short of this is it's gone out and the bids have come back too high, and you're trying to work with the Veterans Memorial Park Foundation to figure out how to raise the money, because every time you change, you push back the timeline by 5 months. Is that the short version of this?
Yeah, that's a pretty good synopsis. Where we left it with them before is we said, hey, VMP board, and listen, we all want the same thing. We're clearly aligned in the goal, right?
Agreed.
We want this done. And so we said, hey, here's the amount of money we have. And we will go out to bid, 132 days on average for us to go out to bid. Welcome to government, right?
Can we pause there? Because that's crazy that just getting to a bid from an idea is 4 months. I mean, that's insane. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
And that's
easy.
That's if there's no delay.
Right.
That's if there's no and that's not because, I mean, our team, kicks butt trying to get those things out. That's local regulation, state regulation, and remember, this is state money, which means you have to have X number of bids, so there's just additional red tape on top of that. So 132 days is efficient, sadly, for us to be able to get anything out. And listen, on a $25 million project, no big deal. On a $700,000 project, I mean, imagine, I got asked the question at the press conference, like, hey, is it frustrating? Or when people hear that it's taking this long for project, I was like, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more that the amount of hoops that we have to jump through to government to spend $600,000 is really crazy. So we all want transparency, and we certainly don't shy away from that. But in the name of transparency, means more dollars, more of your tax dollars, while we delay more projects. And so, there can be transparency and probably some modernization of at what dollar amount things can be done.
Yeah.
That's not an indictment of our council or anything. Mainly, it's a lot of state regulation that causes a lot of those delays.
Just for clarity, what is the price tag that the bid came back at? What's the delta?
So we had it's somewhere in the $600,000 to $650,000 range. Is what we when we met with VMP before it went to bid, say, hey, this is what we've got. Now, if it goes over this, do you guys want, you can fundraise for that. We can try to scope it down, but I really don't want to go back for another 4 months. I'm sure they don't either. And as you heard me say, we offer the option of saying, hey, this is too expensive. We've got a Portland Loo. We can put that in, in the meantime, and maybe we look at the long game of how to, come up with a class. Remember, this is a classroom and storage area and bathrooms. But it's this idea has ebbed and flows. It started as we need bathrooms, and then it goes up the classroom, and then now it's kind of back down because of cost. And
yeah.
So, we've got about a $300,000 delta. Mm. So we're going to meet with VMP, and again, we all have the same goal. It should be, just say, hey, this is what we said we'd do. here's our delta. What do we want to do? This is state money that's got to get spent. And again, state money that was really started into place before I got here. That's like you said, how long it's been.
Yeah.
So we want something to move and something to happen. And, you know, so we just need to meet with them and, you know, looking forward to that conversation about, you know, and give those kind of menu options of what's available and go from there.
Very good. Well, obviously, we have all been hoping for this for years and years and years. And I mean, fingers crossed, you know, let's figure out a solution. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, hang on for just a second. We got John with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest. Traffic is starting to move again, but still a 7-minute delay. And also Highway 90 southbound as you're coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 20-minute delay. Traffic is backed up almost to Florida Town, so just be aware of that. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. For several years, the public and I have been asking you, because they have been asking, about a post office downtown. Are we finally at a place where you can make the announcement, or at least it's public, you know, records and all that?
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's enough public emails going around. We are working with USPS to, and specifically with the city, we're working with them on, you know, loading areas so for them to be able to get mail in and out at the old Sluggo's location at Jefferson Street. So, you know, I'm not sure from a lease perspective, we're not involved in that really at all. Our interaction is, you know, hey, Mayor, can you help us out with a place to drop, you know, pick up and drop off mail?
Yeah.
You know, a loading zone on Romana, that type of thing. So, of course, you know, that's a huge asset for our citizens down there. We want that to take place. So that's what we're doing. And so we're happy to, and certainly optimistic to see that go in. It helps our businesses, helps our residents, our visitors, and everything else. So it's been a long process. It's been this location for now probably going on almost 2 years.
Yeah.
But you know, that's, we talk about, you know, local government, you know, federal government, I don't think it has a reputation for moving a lot faster than us.
Right.
So, you know, that's where we are. But good news, and it looks like we're starting to at least see some light at the end of the tunnel because they're rekindling these conversations about their loading and unloading.
And by the way, I've always respected that, you know, you'll say, look, we're working on this. This is what I think I got. I can't say anything yet because it's not really my baby anyway. You know, and sometimes things have to wait until they become a little bit more ripe for them to be talked about in the public. You've also got this. Give me the short version of what happened at Belvedere Park. This oak tree got trimmed. It shouldn't have been trimmed. You guys are looking at fines. Do we know anything yet?
Yeah, the report that got back to me, Councilwoman Breyer had texted us over Thanksgiving weekend with a photo, you know, talking about city staff. You know, this got cut. Did you guys do that? You know, kind of what's happened here. And of course, you know, there wasn't a world of which we would have gone out with our staff and gone and cut a tree. So we certainly knew that wasn't the case. So look further into it. Ultimately, one of our landscaping contractors, I believe, as the story goes, there was a disc golfer out there that must have run into a landscaper out there and said, hey, I'd really like that limb cut. You know, maybe he only, you know, can throw the frisbee left or right or something. I don't know. And that our contractor went ahead and did that.
Oh.
It's not a massive limb.
I'm sorry. I'm just, yeah, as a disc golfer, limb, I am so horrified by this. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I play golf. I was thinking about maybe I should start, you know, wherever I play, whatever tree I hit into, you know.
Move that tree
down,
for like, me. I'm not a lefty. Tree. What are you thinking? Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, obviously not something we authorized. So we are going through the normal process. My request to Parks and Rec is to say we need to treat this the same way we would treat, you know, a citizen. If there's a fine associated with the length of the limb that got cut on a heritage tree, then that's the way we're going to go. So I have to talk to our contractor, outside contractor directly, of course, myself. I'm sure our staff has. And so we're moving through that process now. So certainly an unfortunate situation. I'm sure it was not malicious, but it was just a poor decision by one of our landscape contractors. And so we're going to try to get that rectified as best we can.
Can I ask you to handicap for me the likely veracity of that disc golf story? Is that, you think that really is what happened, or we're suspecting that's what happened? Or?
Yeah, I mean, that is literally the report I got, that it was directed by, you know, not by the Parks and Rec director, but by someone, you know, that was having a bad day on the disc golf course.
Oh, I can't. Oh, man, I was not expecting that answer, so wow, okay. Shifting. As a disc golf guy, the obstructions are the fun. I mean, the fact that things are in your way is part of what makes it interesting. So that's crazy. Anyway, and that a contract would take instruction from, you know, random weekend athlete. Okay, right. So switching gears a little bit, you said something yesterday that I thought was very interesting. As we know, the evolving story about Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and the Food Not Bombs folks, and that what they're really after is the ability to protest slash demonstrate slash do food giveaway as protest slash demonstration on their timetable without permission. The reason they don't want permission is because they don't feel like they should have to ask for permission from the government in order to do things that are constitutionally protected. I love that you said, well, at least now we know what the real issue is.
That's right. Because remember, this began as a moral discussion about the need to feed the homeless.
Sure.
And of course, again, I don't need to give my family background and how I've been around homeless services and reduction for 41 years on this planet, in my own household. And so certainly we prioritize that. And so that's how this conversation started. And then now it has evolved to a First Amendment conversation. And I guess the best analogy I could probably give, if it was me and you, Andrew, would be like you, it would be like you texting me and saying, hey, I would like to see this public record, this email that I've heard you send. And then I send it to you and you say, I can't believe that you wouldn't let the clerk do the normal process. I can't believe that. It's like, well, wait a second. I was just trying to help solve the issue at hand, like the today issue, which is we certainly want, so if we're going to have a different discussion, at least we now know that it's not, there's no Trojan horse happening here, which is, I can't believe you don't want the homeless to be fed, which is certainly not the case at PPD and not the case in my office. But now we want to have a conversation about that. So great. Now we're all singing from whatever relative sheet of music that we're on, and so then we can act accordingly. And as I said yesterday, whether we look at park hours, I think that's probably going to be the first thing that we look at. We want to be fair to everybody, and we want this to come to a conclusion. And again, we thought that with someone filing for a permit, we solved problem number one, and then unveiled was problem number two. So.
Right.
So we'll deal with problem number two accordingly. And, any idea that we're defiant to that, or that I haven't said for a year now that there's certainly things that we need to look at in terms of why do random parks in the city have 11 p.m. closing times? I don't know. Probably a park director from 1995 decided that. And so we're going to look at all of them. And of course, we're going to start with MLK Plaza. So, we want everybody, we still want a harmonious conclusion, but it's a little easier now that we aren't masquerading one issue as another issue, but we're actually now talking about the same issue on the same sheet of music.
And just briefly, because it's on tomorrow night's agenda, the Project Maeve exclusivity agreement, this is the massive shipbuilding project coming potentially, hopefully, fingers crossed, triumph money in the stake, to the port, 2,000 jobs, massive employer if it all comes out. This is really just you saying to them, hey, we're serious about this and we're not going to, you're not going to go through a bunch of work to look at a 9-figure investment and we're not going to bail on you later, just like you did with the soccer stuff, right?
Exactly. I mean, very fair request of a size and scope of a project like this. They don't want to waste their time and then call and say, hey, we're ready to go, and say, oops, we leased it to someone else. Clearly that would not be smart on our part. And I think that's a very responsible thing for us to do and certainly for them to do. We know they are very serious at this point. This is not a pie in the sky situation. So it's certainly opportune time to show our commitment to making this project happen.
Oh, you know what? I said that was last one, but I do have a very quick one. Santa Rosa County is, yeah. I mean, every conversation is about speed zone cameras for schools right now. Milton, Gulf Breeze, the county. As far as I know, there's been nobody in Escambia even take up the question, whether at the school board. I asked Sheriff Simmons about it the other day at the county, same thing. You obviously oversee the city. Has there been any talk on your end about the need for school speed zone cameras in the city of Pensacola?
Not necessarily, probably from, I got enough on my plate
right.
In that regard. And,
you don't want to be the double camera guy, right? I get that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, to the defense of, I can't believe you're taking money from citizens, and I'm like, oh, you mean, people breaking the law. Okay, so,
right.
Listen, I don't think it would be a bad thing. I think people driving slower and not running red lights is a good thing for a community. But yeah, we had enough on our plate from a camera perspective, and so we haven't really pushed that issue. But if that was something that came to us through the school district or something like that, obviously, you know, we would approach that with open eyes and ears.
Okay. And I thought that's where we were, but I've just kind of found it interesting that all of Santa Rosa seems to be in on this, and none of Escambia County seems to be interested in this, at least not yet. So that's why I kind of asked. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. How often does Mayor D.C. Reeves rearrange the furniture in his house?
Not often enough. You know, I think we've settled in for 4 or 5 years at the place I live and haven't moved much at all.
All right. Do you feel guilty about that? You sound like you feel like you ought to change it more often.
I know. I'm questioning. Am I supposed to be? I don't know. Is it like the feng shui in here?
I'm a fix it and leave it, you know, until there's a problem. So we've had 11 years of the same furniture in my house. So it's, you know, I don't think that's weird at all.
Okay. So then I'm not behind.
No, not at all. Do you think it's weird when people like their own posts?
You know, this actually just went through my brain recently. I don't know who it was or what post it was, but I think so. I mean, it's kind of weird. I mean, I think it's presumed that you like your own post. I would hope.
You wouldn't have written it if you didn't, right?
Someone to maybe downvote their own post. Yeah, maybe they should like do the laugh emoji. They should laugh at their own joke or something.
I do that all the time.
I think that's a little odd. We're going to assume that if you posted it, that's like number one.
It'd be extra weird if they posted it and then put like an angry emoji. That'd be kind of a weird one. All right,
or
and
comedy,
this is,
you know, in conflict with their own posts.
This is probably going to be the most important question I ask you today or ever, so pay attention. You ready? Geographically, where does the panhandle end?
Man, that is a good one. You know,
is Tallahassee in the panhandle or not in the panhandle?
That is the great debate. I as a former two-time resident of Tallahassee, I feel like it is not included. I feel like when I think of panhandle, I think of Apalachicola, you know, basically, you know, right before maybe the Eastern time zone. I don't know exactly, but I don't know. I controversial or not, I feel like Tallahassee is not included.
Well, that makes you in agreement with Alex Andrade. That's what he said when they were talking about the state bird at the state house. And he said, I don't think Tallahassee's in the panhandle. And I thought, okay, well, let's have this conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
You go.
We're an hour behind you, you know.
Right.
If you forget about us in elections, then that means we're our own society over here. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, we look forward to the conversation tomorrow night at city council meeting. Thank you, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
John Pickens has traffic now. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We've just got a fender bender that just happened on 98 near Sound Retreat Drive. First responders are on the way. So it's going to be causing a backup in the eastbound lane. Also dealing with some major congestion. No accident right now on Highway 90 going southbound into Pensacola. Again, no accident. Just congestion right now. It's backed up almost to Woodbine Road. Expect a 20-25 minute delay in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through the construction zone. Experiencing about a 5 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. McKee Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians. They hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Children's Chorus presentation of Christmas on the Coast is Friday through Sunday at the Sanger Theater. See PensacolaSings.org for tickets and times. The Pensacola Downtown Christmas Parade is Saturday evening beginning at 5:30 with over 100 entries, including 8 marching bands, floats, and the Blue Angels flight team. It's a highlight of the Christmas season. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
6,000 children depend on your compassion this holiday season. WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas.
Oh, it's funny when they were talking about that and you jumped in with 6-7. Did you see that In-N-Out Burger has made it impossible for their systems to produce number sequences of 6 and 7? Because
No,
what would happen is teenagers would wait to get the right order number, and then they'd be videoing the clerk say, order 6-7, and they'd...
Oh.
Yeah! So they've actually... Also, 69. Apparently, In-N-Out Burger, which is kind of funny.